Food City makes it easy to shop your way. Just pick up your groceries curbside or have them delivered directly to your home. So whether you need weekly groceries or just a quick meal, Food City's got you covered. From their doors to yours.
Welcome back into the Eric Haines Show. We are live here today at Pals, Personal Auto Locator Service. If they don't have it, they can find it. Not just sales service as well. You can find out everything that they've got online. You can come in and talk to people. They got people in here right now waiting for you to come in and talk to them about a vehicle.
They do. They're ready and open and full lot of vehicles out there. And if they don't have it, they can find it. If you know what you're looking for, they can help put it in your garage, your driveway. Right now here at Pals. You can check out the full selection right now at palsknoxville.com. PALSKnoxville.com. Meet the staff, search the inventory, find out about financing. You can even schedule your service online at palsknoxville.com. You can also give them a call, 865-999-0253. Time for the 10 o'clock reset. That's thanks to Craven Wings. Two locations of Craven Wings. South North Shore at Choto with the outdoor patio. Kids eat free there Monday through Thursday. You also have the location Chapman Highway in Seymour. Another one coming soon to Foothills Mall in Maryville. And you can check it all out, Craven Wings, C-R-A-V-E-N, wings.com. Coming up over the next 2 hours here on the Eric Haines Show, Josh Heupel's on the SEC teleconference. Tell you what he had to say about the matchup with Pittsburgh. Tennessee, by the way, wearing all white. I was a little disappointed. I thought they were going to wear white over orange because Johnny Majors brought the orange pants back to Tennessee when he came in as the head coach. But all white headed up to Pittsburgh after wearing all orange here last year. We'll tackle that matchup coming up here in a few. Tomorrow marks a huge anniversary at Tennessee. We'll tell you what that is. Coming up, we'll play Florida, Alabama, or Georgia, of course, coming up at 11 o'clock. The NFL opens up tonight.
Let's go.
We'll have Tyler Wyatt at 11:30 with Upset of the Week. He can also give us a little preview of that game tonight between the Bills and the Rams.
I feel like I like the NFL more than some people do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a really big NFL guy. I know we don't talk about it a ton. We do.
Yeah.
Not a ton, but I love me some NFL. The best in the world.
They are. I like the passion of college football, but if you want the pure skill, the anything can happen on a week-to-week basis because they're all getting paid, that's the NFL. It's a lot of fun. All that and more coming up over the next 2 hours here on the Eric Haines Show. Josh Heupel, we mentioned he raved about one of the freshman running backs on Vol calls last night. He was also on the SEC teleconference yesterday previewing what will happen between Tennessee and Pittsburgh this weekend. Kind of diving into some of the matchups in this game, but first he was asked about Tennessee being ranked in the top 25 for the first time since 2020. His response, rankings don't mean anything this time of year.
Thank you.
You know who wouldn't have said that? Butch Jones.
He'd had a stat ready.
There would have been an unbelievable
going into week,
celebration.
From unranked to ranked in just 1 week, you know, at Tennessee, has only happened four times in the last 20 years, and we're proud of that. And, yeah, he would have had a whole nonsense answer.
There would have been such a celebration of being number 24. Josh Heupel did say, you know, he's excited for the program to face a really good football team. First test on the road this year. Composure and toughness that you have to show on the road, unquote. It is a different game, certainly going on the road, and that's not going to be the raucous environment that you're going to see, you know, at a Georgia or an Alabama or Florida or any of those places, but this is a game that they have to be ready for to go on the road, especially against a team that beat you and beat you last year. On Hendon Hooker facing Pittsburgh for his fourth time. Quote, I think there's value in what we did a year ago and what we saw for him and what we're doing offensively. There's value in that. Going back to his days at Virginia Tech, I don't think there's a ton of value just because of the scheme. He's a different player than he was then.
I would agree with that.
Came after Pat Narduzzi talked about facing him now at both places.
He's a completely different player, completely different offense, playing with different athletes. I mean, it's like not even – you can't even watch the film. This is a totally different Hendon Hooker.
And last year, I think he's different from last year, too, because he's now comfortable in it. That was the first really extended action that he got last season, was after Joe Milton had an injury in that game. He comes on and...
played well.
Played pretty well, yeah. He didn't ultimately finish the comeback, but played pretty well, and then he kind of ran with it from there. It's... I think for Hendon Hooker, this is one of those... Certainly, there's revenge on the mind of more than one player in this matchup. But for Hendon Hooker, it's the one that he didn't get to start and really go after last year. I think this game and the Florida game are two things that are on his mind that, you know, whether he says it, whether he internalizes it or comes out and says it, these are games that he probably thinks, you know, if he had been in there, he would have had a chance to go win, because that's the kind of confidence he has in himself. So he has a chance to go prove that starting on Saturday. Is there a different kind of excitement this week playing a ranked matchup early in the season? Here's where those comments on rankings came in. Quote, as far as the rankings, those things don't matter at this point of the year. The challenge for us is to prepare the right way for us to be our best and go compete fiercely on Saturday, and not go up and down with the flow of the football game. It'd be a great competitor for 60 minutes. It's one of the things I talked to our guys about today as we finished up practice.
I just don't... Okay, the magnitude of this game... Mm-hmm. I think it's different to the players than it is to the rest of us.
Okay.
I think this game is everything to them. Sure, it's a ranked team. That's the only thing that makes it... You know, I'll give them that. You know, you're playing a highly ranked team, but you're playing on the road. It's going to be a hostile environment. You can say what you want about Pitt, but if you watch the West Virginia game, it was crazy. So I'm sure it'll be just that, if not more, for Tennessee to come to town. We talk about the Florida game, not as much as the Pitt game, but we're playing a ranked team on the road, and over the course of this week, we'll spend an hour or more talking about the Tennessee-Florida game. Mm-hmm. This team doesn't care about the Tennessee-Florida game. Or isn't it Akron after Pitt?
Yes, Akron and then
they Florida. Don't. They're nowhere on any of that. The only thing they're worried about is Pitt. It's just a little different. When we get to the Florida game, we're not going to be talking about the Georgia game or Tennessee-Alabama. The only thing we will talk about is the Tennessee-Florida matchup, when we talk about Tennessee anyway. But that's not the case this week. It's just it's a little bit different. And I'm glad that it's not like that with the players, or they'd get their butts kicked. But this is a big game. This is a huge game. We've talked about, you know, you said it. I asked you about Florida-Kentucky yesterday, and you said that you'd like Florida to give Kentucky to give it to Florida and then be questioning themselves a little bit coming into the game.
Mm-hmm.
So that works both ways. If Tennessee goes and lays an egg against Pitt, that'll be in their head. So I think this game is massive, personally. I think the ramifications of a good hard-fought win or a hard-fought loss, if they're not careful, can go past that week. And you can't do that if you got to play 12 games. You cannot let one win or one loss dictate anything about the next week. But that is a hard thing to do. You see it every year. Like LSU right now has their hands full.
Right.
Not letting what just happened against Florida State dictate what they look like in the future. Like that is such a – Brian Kelly's earning his 10 mil because that is going to be so hard to do in that locker room. So what happens this week could affect us in the future if we're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
So this game this weekend is huge. Yeah, I don't care that Hooker's played against him a couple times at Virginia Tech. I don't care about any of that. I just care about this game this weekend, and it is big for both teams.
Does it help him face the Pitt scheme at all? I mean, I realize there's no value really in Pitt trying to scout him from back then because he's running something different, but does it give him a thought looking at the defense, or does it matter because they're employing a different type of defense to try to stop a different type of offense?
Yeah, I think you're going to watch what they tried to do against West Virginia. You're going to find the similarities. You're going to go with it. You can watch what they did a little bit last year, but again, that's not really applicable. You're going to have a different approach with a new coach. So Yeah, I think a lot of it, this game on both sides for both teams, they can learn more watching last year, but they got a new coordinator. So they're doing different stuff. There's just a lot of different in this game. Both teams are going to watch what they did in week one, try to take as much as they can out of it, and a lot of this game will be unknown. A lot of the game plans for both teams, the other team is going to have to learn on the fly what they're trying to do. Those are hard games to play in. Coaching is huge in those games. They're going to have a plan for us, and we're going to have to make adjustments. And I love the fact that our coordinators are both back. I think that gives us a slight advantage.
865-656-9900, 866-656-9900. When we come back, we'll take some of your comments on the text box. We'll also dive more into this matchup of Tennessee and Pittsburgh coming up Saturday on the road. We'll have it for you, of course, here on the Sports Animal in Knoxville. We continue to preview that game. Take your phone calls next.
Call or text 865-656-9900 if you want to join the conversation that we're having here today, broadcasting live from Pals Personal Auto Locator Service. Not just sales, but service as well, all right here at Pals.
865-656-9900 if you want to join us. You can call or text us. Some contributions from the text line. Steven says, do you think Pittsburgh has been rewatching the Purdue bowl game to see how to slow us down?
Normally when you do a game plan, you have 4 to 5 games, 5 max, and you compile all the information and you watch all of it. Like, you don't watch to get a game plan. You don't watch every game. You find the ones that make the most sense, pick your 4 or 5, and then that's where all your stats and numbers and compilations and film and all that comes from. So they're going to definitely watch us last year. We have both the same coordinators back and a ton of the same players. So they will watch even more film from last year than like we will from Pittsburgh last year. You will on personnel some,
yeah,
but the schemes are different. What they're doing is different. So it's a little bit harder like that. But, yeah, I would imagine the Purdue game would be one of the games that Pittsburgh will be watching to compile their numbers and stats and video. Yes.
Jazz points out, with Akron next week, a win against Pittsburgh guarantees Tennessee a winning record going into the bye. And he picks Tennessee winner 41-24. But that would be huge. I mean, if you could, okay, let's say the worst records you could have leaving this 4-game stretch to start the season, going into the off weeks 3-1. I think even if the last one in there is a loss to Florida and it's a sour taste in your mouth, I still think you look at the first third of the season and say that's a success. And so you can guarantee yourself a successful first third of the season with a win on Saturday. You can also set yourself up for an excellent first third of the season by beating Pitt and giving yourself a chance to start the season 4-0. Tennessee hasn't started 4-0 since 2016. So I just think, you know, we debate all offseason, what's the most important game on Tennessee's schedule? And it came down to this game and the Florida game, most of our comments when we did it on Big Topic Wednesday. Now we're here. You know, Josh Heupel's asked yesterday about the magnitude of this game, and he kind of downplayed it from that standpoint, talking about rankings didn't mean anything at this time of year and things like that. But I don't know that you can downplay it. Certainly Florida's more important from the SEC standpoint, but if you can defeat the defending ACC champion, granted with some different personnel, but you defeat the defending ACC champion, you set yourself up with some momentum internally, but externally, I think it validates what Josh Heupel's done and what he's trying to do. And I think that could be more important than anything when you're talking about how this program is perceived in the public.
There's like a lot of different schools of thought right now about Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Tennessee fans that are non-believers. They don't think they're very good. They lost too much. West Virginia's terrible. All these things. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that. I think Pitt is a good football team. I don't think they're a great team, but I think Pitt is a good football team. If we win by 1 point, I will be beyond satisfied. If we go whip Pitt, mm-hmm. then you're entering a different stratosphere. Jeremy, a friend of mine, was just texting me, said this could be like the 06 Cal game. An slightly overrated Cal team, and Tennessee just killed them. He thinks that could happen. If that happens, that means we're really good. This is, and I'm saying this beforehand, because if Tennessee goes and lays the wood to Pittsburgh, then a lot of people will say, well, Pitt's just not that good. We don't know how good we're. No. If Tennessee goes and whips Pittsburgh at Pittsburgh, Tennessee is a really good football team. And I'll accept nothing less. Because I'm telling you right now, I watched the entire Pitt-West Virginia game on replay, and Pittsburgh is a good football team. I don't think they're better than we are. There's a reason we're a touchdown favorite in the game. I think we're the better football team. But if you go in there and win and don't cover, who cares? This is football. Don't make the bet. If you're going to be disappointed Tennessee wins by one, don't place the bet. Because I'll take any style of victory. I don't care if we run the option. I don't care if we come out and blitz 11 guys on every play. It doesn't matter to me what we do. I just want to win the football game, and I guarantee that's all Josh Heupel cares about too, because Josh Heupel knows that he's going against a good football team on the road. Those wins, those are highly coveted wins. Beating a good team on the road is not an easy thing to do in college football.
Yeah.
And you're going against a good football team. Like I said, not great. A good Pitt football team. When you play good teams on the road, when you escape with a win, I don't care what the spread is. When you get out of there with a dub, man, that's all that matters. And I feel like a lot of fans right now have expectations that we're just going to go and kill these guys. And all I'm saying is, first off, I don't see it happening. And if I'm wrong and we do, it's not because Pitt's not good.
Right.
It's because we are really good. It's a perspective change for a lot of people right now. If you have an expectation that we're going to kill them, you're, in my opinion, you're devaluing Pittsburgh a little bit. I think they're a good football team.
I think you watch them last week and you see that they do a lot of really good things. I don't think the drop-off from last year to this year is nearly as dramatic as people expected it to be. I think that's where it's coming in. You see what they lost from last year, and so you expect them to be bad, and they're not.
No, they're not bad at all. They're super solid. And you know what they do? They play physical. This is going to be a game where Tennessee, you know, the notion that you play fast and the notion that you play fast and have this sexy up-tempo offense is that you just throw it all over the yard and you're not soft, but, you know, the air raid is not a physical type of offense. The up-tempo, if you're not careful, you would think it's not. This is a game where Tennessee is going to have to win the line of scrimmage, and they're going to have to win the physicality battle of the football game because Pitt is physical. If anything, they're grabbing and holding all the time. Their DBs aren't great, but they're so physical out there, and their linebackers, that, you know, the refs, you can't throw a flag every play. They subscribe to the win the physicality part of the game, and you'll win the football game. I don't think it's that simple for Pittsburgh. I don't see them whipping us, so I think it's going to be kind of a stalemate. I think both teams are going to have some issues, and I think both teams are going to have some strengths, and it's going to kind of be both sides of the football. Our O-line has their work cut out for them, and their O-line has their work cut out for them as well. So I just think this is going to be a tough, hard-fought football game. I'm going to pick Tennessee to win, but not by a ton. And if they do, it's not because Pitt isn't good. It's because Tennessee is really good. That'll be my takeaway. If we beat them by two touchdowns, I'll be on here going, guys,
let's roll.
We're really good. Yeah. We're actually really good at football. That's what I'll be saying on Monday after we beat Pitt by a couple touchdowns. Pitt's not very good. We still don't know much about our team. No, this is a test. We are going into a test. If you pass the test, if you get an A+ on the test, well, you might just be really smart.
I like that.
I can already see it happening. We're going to go beat them, and then a bunch of people are like, yeah, but Pitt's not even that good. They lost everybody. They got new coaches. Nah. Pitt is a good football team. So when we go win by one, be excited. If we go win by 14 or 20, you can jump up and down and say, uh-oh. If you are being hesitant on diving headfirst into this football season, if we go beat Pitt by two or three touchdowns, go ahead and take the goggles off. Just go for it. Head first. I will. I'll be begging Florida to come here. Go beat Pitt by two or three touchdowns.
Akron, do you have to come here next week? We don't have to do this. Just bring Florida on. All right, we will come back. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us. We return here to Pals next. A big anniversary coming up tomorrow for the University of Tennessee. We'll step away from Pitt for just a second. That's next on the Eric Haynes Show.
Yesterday, the SEC announced the 18-game conference basketball schedule. Tennessee begins SEC play on the road against Ole Miss. That happens on December 28th. The first home game will be January the 3rd against Mississippi State. Some other notables include Tennessee hosting Kentucky January the 14th, then traveling to Rupp Arena on February the 18th. In the NFL, the Jets have announced that Joe Flacco will start at quarterback Sunday against the Ravens and that Zach Wilson will not be able to play until week 4 at the earliest. Elsewhere, wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders announced his retirement from the league after 12 seasons. In Major League Baseball, the Braves took down the Athletics 7-3, and the Reds beat the Cubs 7-1. Native Design and Hardscape, Knoxville's premier landscaping and hardscape designer. They're ready to turn your home or business outdoor space into reality. Your new outdoor space awaits Native Design and Hardscape, making backyard dreams come true. Schedule a consultation today at nativetn.com. Good morning, I'm Logan Ward.
Call or text 865-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haynes Show, broadcasting live today from Pals, personal auto locator service right here off Callahan Drive. If they don't have it, they'll find it for you.
All right, tomorrow represents a very important anniversary for the University of Tennessee. On September 9th, 1972, do you know what happened?
Are you going to even ask me that?
Condridge Holloway made his debut as the starting quarterback Tennessee. Against Georgia Tech, becoming the first black starting quarterback in the SEC. So doing a little math there. That's 50 years ago tomorrow.
Yeah, you're aging Condridge right now. Yeah, he might be listening.
He would not like that.
He might be listening.
But a milestone anniversary for Condridge and for Tennessee. 50 years. September 9th, 1972. At Georgia Tech, he would make his home debut a week later, September 16th, 1972, as Tennessee defeated Penn State. He won his first three games as a starter, beating Georgia Tech 34-3, Penn State 28-21, and Wake Forest 45-6.
Ew, Wake Forest.
After a loss to Alabama that October 21st, Tennessee would win the final seven games of the season, including a win over fellow SEC team LSU in the Bluebonnet Bowl.
Cool.
In Houston to end the season. So
Condridge is all-time great. I mean, all-time great.
For sure. On and off the field.
100%.
So 50 years ago tomorrow, he became the first black starting quarterback in the SEC.
Do you know a funny Condridge Holloway story? Mm-hmm. We're playing golf. Condridge and I were playing golf in a tournament together. And this is when I was younger and still had my old driver where I could hit it like 340 yards.
Yeah, you could swing that thing.
I murdered one right down the middle, probably 300 in the air, and then rolled I don't know how far. Mm-hmm. And he just looked at me and he goes, "It's a shame you couldn't play football like you can hit a golf ball." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, I guess thanks, but not thanks."
Yeah.
It was Condridge. I was like, whatever.
All right, so Scott asked this. EA, what will your take be if Pitt ends up beating Tennessee by 14?
It wouldn't. By 14? Mm-hmm. I would doubt how good we are. Mm-hmm. Because I think we're a good football team, too. Mm-hmm. Both teams are good. It's not necessarily strength on strength. That's why this is going to be an interesting game plan, dynamic. Watch it play out. It'll be really interesting. But they're not 14 points better than we are. I'm not positive we're 14 points better than they are. So if either one of the teams, because I'm already telling you Pitt's good, if Pitt beats us by 14, I'm not going to change the fact that I think we're a good football team. Mm-hmm. I would just change my opinion on how good Pitt is. And Slovis probably will have to have a really good game for that to happen. and I think the Pitt hype train would really take off. It wouldn't shock me if either team won a close ball game. If either team blows the other one out, I'm going to err on that team is really good.
Yeah.
But I don't see Pitt beating us like that. If you made me pick one or the other, I could see Tennessee beating Pitt by two or three scores. I can't see Pitt beating us by two or three scores. I can't see with the style, with how they play.
I don't think their offense this year is built for that. But it could be.
For them to do that to us.
You pound in a touchdown late because Tennessee's, went forward on fourth down, driving it for a tying, something like that, maybe. But
if Pitt beats us like that, do you want to know what my takeaway is going to be?
Yes.
Our defense is garbage again because we are going to score points on them. Mm-hmm. It's not like Pitt's going to beat us 28-13. If they beat us like that, I don't see that happening. We are going to score points. So for them to beat us by a couple scores, it would have to be 42-30 or something like that. And I'm sorry, but Pitt does not have a 42-point offense against our defense. So if they pull something like that, maybe they have some. You'd have to have some pick six, a fumble return touchdown. For them to beat us like that, there'd have to be some other garbage going on.
Yeah. 865-656-9900, 866-656-9900. Bill is up next. Bill, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
Hey, guys. Hey, man, it kind of seems like before the season, we were pretty hot, man. But after that first game, you already hear some people, griping, man. So I guess what I want to say is if you had the Vols going 9-3 or 10-2, did you see anything in that first game, granted it was Ball State, that would make you think potentially that this team may be a 7-win team, maybe even like an 8-win team? The defense didn't look very good. I mean, I know we didn't show much, but I don't think the offense is going to be as high-powered, man. I thought the line early kind of got off slow too. So I'll just kind of get you guys' take on it. Thank you guys, man.
I don't think anything I saw in week one changes anything for me from a Tennessee standpoint. I think they looked good on offense, probably better on defense than I expected, but also the opponent plays into that. This week is the week where I will start to take some things about, extrapolating out what I think the rest of the season could look like based on this week. And you got to be careful to not do too much of that, but I think looking around other games in college football and people overreacting to those has had as much an impact on what people think about Tennessee's record as anything. You look at what Florida did, taking down a potential playoff contender in week one, and you start to think that makes that game a lot harder to win. You actually watch the game, and I don't know that it changes a whole lot. If you thought Florida was just going to be absolute garbage going into the season, which I didn't.
No, I picked them to win.
Then That's a tough one. But if you expected them to be pretty good, then it probably doesn't change much. You think it's going to be a tight game between those two teams. I think you look at the LSU result from week one, that's what had the biggest impact on my win-loss projection. I thought it was going to be very difficult for Tennessee to go beat LSU. I think it's still going to be hard, but I don't rate that game as nearly as difficult to win as I did coming into the season. But nothing Tennessee did in the opener changed my opinion on them one way or the other. My reaction was all about everybody else.
Nothing has changed for me either. I still have us as a 9-3 football team. That's what I had us at, and I didn't see anything from us to change that. What I did see is enough from Pitt and Florida that the gap was closer than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
I still have Tennessee beating Pittsburgh this weekend. I still have, sitting here today, Tennessee beating Florida at the end of the month. So nothing has changed for me. I still think we're a really good football team. I also think Florida is a really good football team. And I think Pitt is a good football team. I don't know that I'd have jumped Florida up to 12th in the country. But if you just base it on how they looked in week one, that's about where they looked.
Yeah.
So, maybe you do put them there. But I still have Tennessee beating Florida. I just don't feel as good about it. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm not changing my opinion on it. Because just because we played Ball State, all we did is what we can do against Ball State. And I know fans don't want to hear it, but it is so hard to get up and be as dialed in to play a team like Ball State as it will be for them to go on the road playing at Pitt. You'll see a sharper, faster, more intimidating football team this weekend. You just will. Good coaches try not to have letdowns. Heupel's a good coach. They won 59-10 for crying out loud.
Right.
So they didn't have a letdown. But by no stretch were they as dialed in as they will be this weekend. And that's just how it works. It is what it is. You play really good teams, you're even more focused. You play bad teams, you get as focused as you possibly can. And sometimes it's not where they want it to be.
Oh, 865-656-9900. More of your comments from the text box. More on Tennessee-Pittsburgh coming up next as we return here to Pals. Just off Callahan Drive here, you can see us from the interstate as well. Great selection of pre-owned vehicles here on the lot at Pals. You can check out the selection online at Pals, P-A-L-S, Knoxville.com. And if they don't have it, they can help you find it, whether it's nearby or around the country. That's what they do here at Pals. Come in and check them out. Also here with us today, representative from Second Harvest Food Bank, as they are trying to collect Easy Mac, single-serve macaroni and cheese. They put it in a lot of their kids for Food for Kids program packages, some of their quick assistance packages as well. They had a large order that they were expecting to help get them through the fall that was actually pushed back, a whole tractor trailer that was pushed back to January. They need your help in procuring some of that Easy Mac. Doesn't have to be the major name brand. Can be any single-serve macaroni and cheese. They're collecting it both at their location on Harvest Lane in Alcoa, but also at some of our remotes this year, including right here at Pals today. If you can help, just bring it by. Or find out more at secondharvestetn.org. The Eric Haines Show returns next year from Pals. 865-656-9900. You can call us or text us here as we return live to Pals. Check them out online, palsknoxville.com. And again, if you can help us out in the drive for Easy Mac, single-serve macaroni and cheese to help Second Harvest. We have a representative from Second Harvest here as well, or check out how other ways you can help at secondharvestetn.org. Eric, from the text box, Walker says, is Eric wearing Alabama colors today? I'm sure he and Paul Feinbaum would make great twins after endorsement of them yesterday.
Because I don't think the endorsement, Jesus. I'm a hostage.
We're all hostages to Alabama's dominance.
I'm numb to it. I'm numb to them beating us.
Yeah.
That's not an endorsement. That's an endorsement on how bad we have been, is what.
No, see, but I think it's everybody. Everybody feels like, except Georgia, feels like they've been held hostage by Alabama football for the last decade and a half.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
And it's, somebody's got to break it, and I would love to do that coming up.
These people that are guaranteeing that we're going to win by two or three touchdowns against Pitt, I'll believe it when I see the betting screenshots that you put money on it.
Yeah.
I would bet that we cover.
I think Tennessee is a good football team that is going to go up there and win on Saturday. I don't think this is going to be a walkover.
I'll bet even that we cover the game. What is it, 6.5?
Down to 6, I think.
6? See, I would take Tennessee to cover that. But I wouldn't take them to cover it if it was a lot more than that.
This from the text box. Florida's getting way too much credit for beating Utah. Utah could easily have won that game as well. But Utah was the most overrated team in the country. People thought they were great because of what they did to Oregon last year. Utah would be a 6 or 7 win SEC team at best.
That's the worst take I've ever heard in my entire life.
All right.
Utah is a good football team. They weren't fast enough to tackle Anthony Richardson. But other than that, they were. And their offense was good. And they could have won the game easily.
I think there are a couple of plays that they would like to have back, and they would have won the game.
Yeah. But again, okay, here's the thing. This is what people do. It drives me absolutely bonkers. Okay. Utah is a good football team. Just because Florida beat them doesn't mean they're not a good football team. It means Florida is also a very good football team. It's not one or the other. It's not Florida won, therefore Utah sucks. Didn't Alabama win the SEC championship game last year?
They did.
Did that mean Georgia sucks because Alabama beat them? Because Georgia turned around and beat them for the national championship game.
They did.
Just because a team wins or loses doesn't mean a wholesale change of opinion on them. The reason Florida's getting wholesale change of opinion is because everyone assumed that they were, under a first-year coach, going to be super average. And they did not look average. They looked very good. That is why people – that doesn't have anything to do with Utah being a good or bad football team.
Hot take. I think over the course of this whole season – Florida will look average. I think the first third of the season they will not, because their depth issues that I think will define problems for them in the back half of the season are not there, or they're not present right now. They have everybody. Anthony Richardson's healthy. Everybody's healthy. I think between now and when Tennessee plays Florida is the best Florida's going to look this season. After that, things are going to start to pile up for them, and they're not going to have answers. And the reason I think that is I've seen that happen with Tennessee over the years. We've been through so many coaching changes that the first couple of years of a coach, you have a team that's not bad. You just have a team that when somebody gets hurt, they have no answer for it. And I think that's where Florida is going to be eventually. But right now, like, unless something significant happens against Kentucky, they are going to be – their pinnacle of how good they may be is going to be somewhere between Utah and Tennessee.
No part of watching the Utah game, if you know football, nobody that knows football would have watched Utah play football against Florida and said that they're a below-average football team. Nobody. Nobody. They're a good football team. You want to know if Florida's a one-hit wonder? Watch what they do against Kentucky this weekend. Because you know what? Kentucky could be a little overhyped. They're also missing a lot of players, and they've only played one game.
Missing perhaps their best offensive player.
I think Kentucky is a, quote, good football team. I don't think they're great. I think they're a good football team. If Florida goes and beats them by three touchdowns, it doesn't mean to me that Kentucky is still not a good football team. It means Florida is a very good football team. Just because you lose a game doesn't mean you go from good to bad in a week. That's not how the game is played. That's not how the season is played. That's why it takes more than 1 week.
And vice versa, if you go out and win a game, it doesn't mean that you're world beaters either.
No, that's why you need to wait. You need to see more from Florida. Yeah. But until you do, based on what you've seen, they look like a good football team.
Let's talk to Hitch. Hitch, you're on the Eric Haines Show. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a real quick question. If it comes down to some crazy, you know, trick play or something like that, because both teams, I think, are pretty close as well. But y'all seen them play and that kind of thing. So if they have to pull a trick play or something, I mean, you've got two quarterbacks, both of them can handle the ball. So that gives Tennessee an edge, in my opinion. But do you see any way it comes down to a trick play or anything like that? And if that's what it takes, there'll be no fear and no hesitation. Is that right? Y'all be cool.
Hitch, we appreciate it. I don't know that a trick play necessarily, but I think it could come down to one play. It could come down to how you execute one play.
If you have to use a trick play, you're not in good shape.
Yeah.
You just want to do what you do. But it's not – trick plays aren't for gotta-have-it situations because the other team's ready for it.
Right.
Trick plays are for – when you're going fast and running the football and going fast and running the football and you can see they just keep creeping up and creeping up and creeping up, and then that's when you hit them with a reverse pass. Something like that.
Yeah.
You got to set those up. Trick plays have to be set up. That's why when Ball State went for a trick play on the P&10 opening play of the game, that was the most rookie move ever. No one's biting on anything. They're sitting back playing regular defense. You have to get them nosy. You got to get their eyes in the wrong spots because you keep torching them the ball or keep torching them throwing the ball, and then you hit them with a double move or something like that.
Yeah.
We'll do stuff like that. I don't know that you'll see a trick play.
We'll take more of your phone calls in the final hour of the Eric Haines Show coming up next, 865-656-9900. More from the text box. We lead off, though, with Florida, Alabama, or Georgia in our final hour coming up here. live from Pals. And again, we have representatives from Second Harvest here as well, as they're collecting macaroni and cheese for the single serve Easy Mac mac and cheese drive. 865-656-9900 if you want to join us here on the Eric Haines Show. Our final hour on this Thursday comes along next.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.